Grab song sheets. Look at that one we learned today. Raise a hallelujah. I'm going to sing in the middle of a storm. Who feels like that? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. When the storm is raging, we internalize that. Odds are Satan comes to you and say, you know, if you had more faith, you would be able to get through this. Or it wouldn't bother you as bad. But they've got it worked out here. This is exactly the next time the storm rages. If you sing, find you some place that nobody's going to hear you and you sing loud. It's got to come out from inside, out to the edges, so that the Spirit of God can take that and raise that hope within you. We internalize it. We don't want anybody to know about it. I am going to sing in the middle of... Randy, what happens if we don't sing? Then you find your Bible verse and you yell it. This is what storm... You address the storm as if it's a person, because in essence all of it is coming from the evil one. You address it. Here's how I feel. I feel alone. I feel completely worthless. I feel completely helpless. But here's the truth. You got to bring truth in that storm. Here's the truth that Jesus has promised me His peace. I don't feel like it. And you must do it loud. Men, I understand we don't do that very well. Except Jonathan. He does everything loud. Praise God, there's a little one coming right behind him just like him. But I encourage you to do... Now, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I do the same thing. Do the same thing. We internalize it. We want to appear like we're strong. We want to appear like we've got everything in line. I want you to find a place. It could be a barn. It could be when nobody is there. I want you to find a place where you address that storm personally. And you sing loud praises into it. Satan hates praises. You quote loud Bible verses in it. The truth has got to come to the surface. And when the truth comes to the surface, amazing things happen inside. And nothing else, you release that stress that's within you. The Jewish people were great at being loud. Their surfaces were loud. Everything was loud about them. And that was because it had to come out. This is who we are. We are children of God. We have been adopted into His family. Our sins have been forgiven. This is who I am. I am not the storm. I'm in the storm, but I am not the storm. And Jesus, this is your storm. It will do amazing things if you will do that. And the next time somebody comes to you and they're talking about their storm, ask them if they have sung loudly in it yet. Ask them if they have quoted Scripture loudly in it yet. Remind them of what you've heard this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, that does not mean that Fred Flintstone walked around with a rock iPhone in his ear. He did not do that. What it means, there is more knowledge, there's more understanding, there is all of that, but the heart of man has not changed. The way that mankind responds has not changed. Irregardless of the education level or the lack of, they respond the same way. Yes, there's more knowledge. Yes, there's more things we can get into. But the heart of mankind has not changed. We see it in our current political environment. We see it in the way that mankind responds and acts towards mankind. We see it, instead of governing today, they're looking for some reason to accuse. They're looking for some word that they might say. They're wanting to stumble, make them stumble so they can say, ha, you can't trust them. Both sides, don't look at me like that. Both sides. They're looking for the same thing. Looking for some way they can trip them up. I want you to understand, they did the same thing to Jesus Christ. Same thing to Jesus Christ. Jesus had told a parable where the farmer was going to lose his land, and the Pharisees understood. He's talking about us. He's talking about us. So the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders looked for a way to arrest him because he knew he'd spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. See, when you don't have a good answer for the truth, or it's not what you want to hear, you look for some way to silence it. Not accept it. You must understand, when Jesus talked, He was speaking truth. And we must allow that truth within our lives and begin to live that truth so we can have those blessings that we talked about last week. Mark chapter 12, 13. Later, the Pharisee leaders sent some Pharisees in support of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something so they could arrest Him. Does that not sound like today? Exactly like today. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and you don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. I wrote the word sleazy right there because that's, can you just feel that slap? Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful and marvelous and I'm getting ready to trip you up. Sleazy. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or is it not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? You can hear them say, we got him now. Either the Romans are going to be mad at him or the Jews are going to be mad at him and one of the two is going to arrest him and we're going to take this guy and we're going to put him away. I don't care what they do to him, just silence him. But we got him. Jesus in His wisdom said, give me a coin. Whose image is on that? Oh, that's Caesar. Then give to Caesar what's his. Give to the Lord what is His. They came back. Then they approached Jesus by some Sadducees. They did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. And they posed this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Yes, that is there. Well, suppose... You do realize when you get into the supposed area that you're in trouble at that point. There are seven brothers. The oldest one is married, then died without children. The second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. The third brother married her, and it's at this point, if you're the fourth brother, I'd be finding me another place to live. This continued all the way, the seven of them, and there were still no children. Last of all, the women died. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Which we don't believe in, by the way, for all seven were married to her. Oh, we got him this time. Either the Pharisees will be mad at him, which they already are, or the Sadducees will be mad at him. We don't care who's mad at him. We just need to shut this guy up. Jesus said, you're in error because you don't know the Scriptures. You are in error because you don't know the truth. You don't know what's going on because you've not listened to me. You've not listened to my Father. This was not all bad because there was a teacher of the law watching this and he noticed how Jesus responded. And this teacher was struck by the wisdom in what Jesus said and how He responded. He was watching Him. Understand, the lost world is watching us. And they want to see how we respond to the storm. They want to see how we respond to the ridicule. They want to see how we respond to those who disagree with us vehemently. And He was struck by the wisdom. Now, why is that? Matthew tells us that when Jesus had finished these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching. For He taught with real authority. Do you have that in your life? Do you know that? Jesus teaches, He's not just spouting words like a teacher would do. He speaks with the authority of God. And that's not like me or any other teacher that's down here. Quite unlike the religious law. So what do we know about this young man? He asked the right question. All the others were asking questions to trip up Jesus, but this man asked the right question. Of all the commands, which is the most important? What is the most important there? Now, we know some things about him based upon this question. We know his heart was right. I really want to be right with you, God. I really do. Now all these other guys came at you with these false questions to trip you up, but I need to know what is the truth? What is the truth? Jesus, there's so many laws. I struggle to keep them all. I mean, there's so many. And the religious leaders have just tacked laws upon laws upon us. But I want to be right with God. What is the main thing, Jesus? Help me. He will always respond to that prayer. Always. And Jesus responded to him in love. He could have said, well, don't you know the Scriptures? You should have figured this out by now. You're a teacher of the law. You should know this. But Jesus responded in love. I have a sense that there is all sorts of murmuring going around, and Jesus has focused in on this man. He's looking at him. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only. Now, if you want to know what the main thing is, here it is. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. If you want to know what the main thing is, Christians, as important as Bible school is, as important as worship is, in the life of a Christian, the main thing is to know who the Lord God Almighty truly is and love Him deeply. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word and how Jesus wrapped this, all of the law up in two simple little commands, simple but yet profound. We are so busy doing in the church that we forget that our goal, our aim, our responsibility as Christians is to love the Lord God with all that we are. Father, it's easy to get off track down here. With all the things we've got to do, all the enjoyments we have, even the political environment, we can get off track and forget that our goal of salvation is to love the Lord God and let everything else within us flow from that. Now, Father, speak to us. And I give You the praise in Your name. Amen. I can sort of imagine Jesus with the first question asked to Him. Oh, that's a stupid question. Smack. Off it goes. Or the second one, whose wife? Oh, that's another one. You guys are just trying to trip me up. Smack. Let's get that. But the third one, He goes, oh, here's a seeker. Here's somebody who wants to know the truth. Who is really, really wanting to know. What's the greatest command? What is the greatest command? Now, what's He asking for? He's asking for a priority list. There's so many things in the law. Some of them are extremely important. Some of them are less important. I need to know what's the main thing. What's He asking? If I have any chance of keeping the law, I need to focus on the primary and I need to know about the secondary. Did you hear that? If any chance of me keeping it. It's up to me to keep it. I need to know what's really, really important. I want you to hear Jesus say, your approach is honorable. But you're missing the proper motivation for success. It is not duty. It is love. Duty makes a Christian stale. Makes them judgmental. It makes them suffer in a ways. Sometimes duty is good in that it keeps us on track for a while. But folks, if you really want to know how to live the blessed life, if you really want to know how to receive that blessing within, it comes from the love of God Almighty. Jesus begins with a proper mindset. There is only one Lord, and I am His, and He is mine. There is only one Lord and Master of this earth. The words would not surprise Him. They were the Shema. Every morning, a strong religious Jewish person would rise up and he would quote these verses. And before he would set his head down, he would quote these verses. It was a part of who they were and how they lived. They didn't think about them. It was common. It was something they did without thinking about it. When you came to church today, did you think about it? Or is that something you do? When you pick up your Bible in the evening or in the morning, do you think about what you're doing? Or is it just something rote that you do? You're not really expecting God to touch you. You're not really expecting His Word to change you. Folks, that's rote. It serves no purpose. And that's what this was. They had the truth in the midst of their wording and they missed it. I want you others to notice that Jesus said, this is the core to our relationship with God. It's not how much money you have. It's not how much talent you have. It's not how much power you have. It's not how many verses you read a day. It's not how many minutes or hours you pray a day. The core to our relationship with God is the love that we have for Him and what He has done in our lives. I want you also to notice, it has not changed. Just because this is the year 2019. It was that way in the Old Testament, all the way through to the New Testament. It has not changed. Jesus began with these words, "Listen, O Israel." That means pay attention. Get focused. Get ready to accept the truth and apply it to your lives today. When you read God's Word, are you reading for His instruction? How am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to think? Who are you? Speak to me, Spirit of God. Or are you just reading like you do a novel? Listen. Listen. The Lord is one. What's He mean? The one and only. There is no other God. There are many who claim to be God, but there is only one Creator. There's only one with absolute authority. There's only one who is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-present. There is only one. Jesus said all others who came were thieves and robbers. They're coming to take your joy, to take your peace away. But He says there is only one God, and you better listen to Him is what He's saying. Only one. The question then is He your Lord? Is He your God? Not saying are you saved or not. That's not what I'm asking. Is He your Lord? Is He your God? And the second question is this. Does He say He's your Lord? It does not matter whether you claim it. Does God look at you and say, mine? Listens to me. Walks with me. Folks, our country is full of self-declared Christians who do not know God or His Word. And as a result, the Christian church is in shambles in many areas. Don't be discouraged, because there's a great revival starting to filter in this words. As they're looking and as they're understanding, it should not surprise you when somebody stands up and says something that is completely contrary to His Word in the pulpit. Should not surprise you at all. There are many scoundrels who stand in the pulpit, but they're not God's. Sorry to say God's scoundrels. That didn't sound quite right. It's true, but it didn't sound quite right. Now this, His declaration sets the foundation for the next truth. Because of who God is in creation. Because of who God is in salvation. Because He is your God. Then love Him so deeply you long to serve Him. You long to serve Him. Folks, you're serving Him. Not out of duty, but out of the sweetness of love and devotion. I serve Him because I want to. I serve Him because of what He has done. Now, in the law, in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, here's a regulation. Okay? These are the regulations you must present to Israel. If you buy a Hebrew slave, now doesn't that sound strange to us today? But there were many reasons why somebody would do that. If you've gotten into financial trouble or some other things, normally it was financial, you could sell yourself into slavery for a period of time and they would take care of your debt. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he may serve you no more than 6 years. You can't keep him indefinitely. Whatever you pay for him, if you pay his bills off, let's say, or you pay his debt, he's good for you for 6 years. Set him free on the seventh, and he will owe you nothing for his freedom. If he was single when he became your slave, he shall leave single. But if he was married before he became a slave, then his wife must be freed with him. Yes, the family itself could go. Verse 4. The master gave him a wife while he was a slave, and they had sons and daughters. Then only man could be freed on the seventh year, but his wife and children will still belong to the master. Somewhere along the line, he wanted a wife, and the master gave him a wife. They had kids. They still belonged to the master. They were his property, if you will. But the man himself could go free. Verse 5. But the slave may declare, I love my master. Somewhere in that 6 years, he has discovered that there was a great love he had for his master, for how he was treated, for what the master had done to him and allowed him to do. Master gave me a wife, and because of that, I have children. I don't want to go free. Because of my master and who he is, because of what the blessings my master has given him, I want to serve him for the rest of my life. If he does this, the master must present him to God. They must take him to a door or a doorpost and publicly pierce his ear with an awl. After that, the slave will serve his master for life. Now you have to understand, these verses came right after the Exodus, after God had redeemed the nation of Israel from slavery, showed himself powerfully, gave them the Ten Commandments so they could have a relationship with Him. What is God saying in this command structure that He gave? Look what God has done. Look. Stop. Pay attention. Do you see what God has done for you? He has redeemed you out of slavery. He has given you His Word, not as a hardship, but so that you would be able to have a relationship with Him and know how to live in such a fashion that God Almighty would receive praise and glory and honor. The Israelite nation were to live that way so all the world could see their blessings and from God Almighty and turn to God and receive Him. Pay attention to what God has said. He has chosen you out of all the peoples of the earth to set His affection on. Out of all the people on this earth, Israelites, God chose you. You weren't the strongest. You were not the mightiest. You were not the wealthiest. You were slaves. You were not the worthiest. And He has shown Himself mighty. Look at what He did when they were in Egypt. All of those things that He did to redeem you. He's shown you He's a mighty God. He's taken you through the Red Sea. He's destroyed the armies of the Egyptians. He is on your side. And He watches over you. Cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. He watches over you. And He has given you His blessed Word so you can stay close to Him. And He can bless you. Because of all God has done in your life, Israel, love the Lord your God so much you become a bondservant to Him. How much more can we say? Has God put upon Himself the flesh of mankind, set aside the glories of heaven, placed upon Himself the limitations of flesh, and He pitched His tent in our world. And He lived as you and I did. He did not live as a king. He lived as a pauper. And He went to the cross. Oh, can you imagine the truth that He left us in His Word? How we are to live. And then He went to the cross and became our sin substitute, so that we in repentance can look to God and say, because of what Jesus has done, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And God does not look down upon you and say, I don't think he's going to be a very good Christian. I don't think I want to do that today. He's not going to do that. He's not going to look down and say, hey, that dude cannot even sing. I don't want him in my choir. He's going to look down and say, you have trusted my son. And because you have trusted my son, I will be true to my word that all who call upon the name of the Lord in my son's name, I will forgive. And not only that, I will fill you with my spirit. I will adopt you into my family. And I will declare all of heaven going, mine. They're mine. Not in perfection, but they're mine. And as we look at these verses, I want you to understand, because of all God has done for us, God, would you please pierce my ear? I long to be a bondservant for you. The things I have, you've given me. All that I have comes from God Almighty. I am not the owner of anything except my opinion and my weaknesses. You have given me everything. And because I love my Master so much, and because of all the blessings He's given me, I long to serve Him. I love to serve Him. I will serve Him not because I must, but because I get to. I get to. And Jesus said this, love the Lord your God, not in word only, but with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. John said it like this, dear children, do not love with words or speech only, but with actions and in truth. The heart is central to loving God. We find some verses which will help us understand this. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This in the Jewish mindset was where decisions are made, where priorities are set. The psalmist said, guard that place, because everything that comes into your life flows from your heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We see in Psalms 14, it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. See, the heart relates to the will where decisions are made. It was the heart because that was the part that the Jewish people could feel. Today we would say, in your mind, get your mind made up. Understand, the fool says in his mind, There is no God. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Guard your actions. Because it is central to who you are. The soul and the spirit is the seat of our emotional activity. Yes, it is good and proper to get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good and proper to raise a hallelujah. It's good and proper to be excited. We have our emotions so... I'm speaking to me too, guys. We have our emotions so wrapped up that we don't want them out. Because some people might not like them or laugh. It is good and proper. Mary, when she discovered and the angel said she would become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my salvation. Folks, I don't think she said, oh, my spirit glorifies. And my spirit, oh, It just rejoices in God. Folks, I believe she shouted this. My soul glorifies the Lord because of what He's going to do. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She was excited. Did she know everything that was going to happen? No. But she knew God had come down and touched her. And she glorified in that. We see him in Psalms chapter 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Do not forget what God has done in your life. It is a priority in your life. And it is good to get excited. And it is good to worship our God, not just with our hearts, but with our emotions as well. Turn them suckers loose. Let a glorious hallelujah arise. Third thing. To love the Lord with our minds is to love the Lord with the right disposition and attitude. The mind here really means attitude. Attitude. Disposition is the way in which something is placed, the priorities of your lives, a person's usual way of feeling and behaving. We place our intellect in strict subordination to God's revelation of Himself. What I think, the priorities of my life, the how I see God, how I see myself, how I see others, how I see this world, all comes underneath what God has revealed of Himself and in His Word. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking in a prophecy about Jesus, the Sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom so I may know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. Morning by morning. I am in God's Word. I'm in His presence so that I may understand His will for me. So the mind actually means attitude. How you see yourselves. How you see others. How you see this world. How you see what's going to happen. So as I've told my kids when they were growing up many times, you need to change your attitude. Is that the proper attitude? Woe is me, God! Why is that happening? I would say you probably need an attitude change. God, this isn't fair! No place in Scripture do I see fair as part of it. If God was fair, we would all be doomed for a devil's hell. Attitude. But then He says, to love the Lord with all our strength is to love Him with all of our being. Everything that we think we are in possession of. That would be our passions, our hungers, our perceptions, and our thoughts. It is how we talk, what we do with our hands, how we utilize our talents, how we react to challenges. We love the Lord God with everything available for honoring Him. Everything that we think is ours, it's available to You, God, to bring You praise and glory and honor. Our entire being is to display that we love You, God. Everything that comes to us is so the world can see we love God Almighty. Everything that we see, and once again, it's an attitude. Everything. How we talk. How we interact with our spouse. Our children are available to You, God. Our house. Dorm room. Wardrobe. Tools. Cell phones, movies, music, computer, your sexuality is all to bring praise and glory and honor to God Almighty. It is not for you to get to decide. God has done that. Most of you respond this morning, I can't. I can't do this, Randy. We can't do that. It is impossible. Why even try? Does it really matter? I'm saved. Does it really matter? In and of yourself? Yeah, you're correct. You can't. Let me be honest. You don't have enough willpower to do that. Some of you can get further than others. But you don't have enough willpower to do this. Augustine prayed, God, give what You command and command whatever You will. God, command us however You want to do it. But whatever You command, give us the ability to carry that out. Give us what You command. If You want me to love this person, God, give me the ability to love that person. If You want me to be strong here when I'm supposed to be weak, give me what I need to be strong. I will trust You. I will trust You, God Almighty. And by the Holy Spirit, Christians can, in a real sense, love God. You can do that. Not in perfection. He enables us to love Him truly, but imperfectly. We have a glimpse of heaven in living within us today. We have a glimpse and just a smidgen of the glory of God. When we receive those glorified bodies, what a marvel it'll be. But for now, we will do the best of our abilities. We will love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And I trust you, God, to give me the ability to do that. I want to. My will is focused on you. My will. Psalms chapter 119, verse 34. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. God will honor this prayer offered in faith. God, give me understanding of your word, what is true, so that I may keep it, so that I may obey it in my heart, so that the world will see what it is to love God Almighty with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, it has not changed. The words found in Deuteronomy has been there for thousands of years. It was the same word that was there before it was spoken by Moses. It is the same word today. It will be that way for an eternity. That because of all of who you are, and all of what you have done, and all of what you have promised me, and all the blessings you have brought into my life, I long to be your bondservant. I long to love you with my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength. And I'm so weak. God, my want to is there. Honor your word within me, that I may truly love you. Not just in word, but my life is yours. I'm available to you. Not just word, actions. And Lord, when life gets tough and the storms are screaming around us, may I not forget who I am. May I not forget that all of this is through your love. And you have promised to bring me out on the other side with the glory and honor to you. Father, there's decisions to be made. Do I know you as Savior? Or do I just attend a church and do some good things and hope that it all balances out in the end? May we understand it won't. But if I have received your salvation, are you my Lord? Am I your bondservant? Father, today, may I make that good decision. And I thank you for what you're going to do. In your name, amen.